In North Coast, indeed, 22 to 9 the time, and every council area in our region has a higher rate of children living in poverty than the state average. It's a sad truth that community sector workers are well aware of. The anti-poverty report, which will be released later today, was commissioned by the state government to find out where budget priorities should be targeted. And to discuss this with me this morning, Tony Davies, the CEO of Social Futures, formerly the Northern Rivers Social Development Council. Tony Davies, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Jo?
Well, thank you. How long has this been the case that children in our area have been living in poverty at a greater rate, if you like, than the state average? How long have we had a situation where we've had more children in that scenario?
Look, it's a long-standing situation, and that obviously relates to the fact that incomes in our region are much lower. So average personal income in the Northern Rivers is $38,000 a year compared to $50,000 for the state. So obviously when people don't earn as much, you have a lot more people in poverty. It's become a real focus with organisations like ourselves and other partners in the region, Family Support Services, the YWCA and many others. As part of a statewide campaign led by NCOS, the 1 in 7 campaign, which highlights the fact that in New South Wales, 1 in 7 children live in poverty. In our region, though, it's 1 in 5 or more than 1 in 4 in some parts of the region.
And I said in the intro that this was commissioned by the state government, this report. In fact, it wasn't. It's a report that has been conducted by NCOS, the New South Wales Council on Social Service, but it will be presented to the Premier Gladys Berejiklian today. What's in that report?
Okay, so what the report is, it's the NCOS, that's New South Wales Council on Social Service, pre-budget submission. And what it does is it presents the community sector's priorities for funding to government for the key things that we as a sector, a community sector, feel need to be done to get real and very, very strong benefits for people living in poverty across the state. Shall I go on?
No, continue, please.
Look, I was just going to say that it was based on a survey of households that lived on income support who identified some key priorities. And really, they were fundamentally about public health services being accessible, particularly dental health, and also a range of cost of living concerns.
Dental health is one that tends to come under the Commonwealth's remit, doesn't it? Does the state have much to do with funding of dental health?
The state does run public dental health services, and we have large waiting lists in this region. So certainly, statewide, we're looking at an increase in funding for dental health. That's something we consider very important. In our region, it's very important. On average, according to the research that NCOS did, children that are aged between 5 and 6 have 2.8 decayed or missing teeth. That compares to other parts of the state where it might be less than 1. So there does need to be a real focus on dental health amongst a range of measures.
What priorities were there for mental health services in the NCOS plan?
Mental health is a real priority for young people. We know if you intervene early in the early stages of mental illness, you can actually get lifelong gains for people. They're more able to participate in employment, live more healthily. There's a great program that actually runs in our region, a community living support service for young people with mental health. It's just in the north of the region, the Northern Rivers at the moment. So NCOS are looking at that being rolled out statewide with a priority on rolling that service out into the mid-north coast as soon as possible.
How does that work, that program?
It provides non-clinical support to young people. So it helps young people who have experienced an acute mental health episode and who have some ongoing mental health issues with support to live independently. So it's around mentoring, some case management support, getting them assistance with work and accessing other services so that they can live well and reduce the risk of a recurrence or a intensification of their mental health issues. It's run by an organisation up here called Wellways who do a great job.
I understand that NCOS also wants to see a statewide rollout of nurse-led home visits. How would this help?
Look, there's a strong evidence base that if you do, if you have a professional nurse home visiting to vulnerable families, and look, we're all vulnerable at different times, so it's not about stigmatising families. It's just having a child, particularly your first child, can be really hard. And providing professional support has lifelong gains. We know that, obviously, with high rates of poverty correlate with a lot of disadvantage for children in our region, and thus 65 children in 1,000 in this region are reported as at risk of significant harm. If you compare that to somewhere like southwestern Sydney, which in many ways is a disadvantaged area, it's almost double the rate. 14 in 1,000 young people are in out-of-home care. So programs like nurse home visiting get support to families at an early stage, and it's very practical support that is known through a lot of research that's been done over decades now to actually reduce the number of people that go into the child protection system. So you get better functioning families and children who have a better chance in life, better engagement with school and a better lifelong outcome.
Yeah. The Social and Affordable Housing Fund, the first phase, I understand, is being funded, but there's now a call for phase two to be funded. What is this program and what's phase two?
Okay, so the Social Affordable Housing Fund was an election commitment to put $1 billion into new social and affordable housing development in this state. What we're calling for with NCOS is for the government to fund the development of another 5,000 social housing dwellings, targeting areas with very high need. So in our area, we know that housing costs are extremely high. They're actually equivalent to Western Sydney rental costs, but our income is way less. So people, there are very high numbers of houses in household stress. So an investment in increasing social housing supply, and there's 2,900 people on the waiting list for social housing in this region at the moment, will have a real impact. It's particularly important to target people who have particular needs, including women and children escaping domestic violence. We're looking at it being targeted to areas such as the North Coast, where there is a greater than average issues with housing affordability.
How likely do you think the government is to take this on board when it comes to preparing that budget strategy?
Well, look, what NCOS has done in consultation with the sector is really zero in on a few priorities now. So they're not asking for the world. And they have had a fairly good track record. Certainly previously NCOS had argued for an increase in preschool funding, and that has come through. They also were instrumental in getting that $1 billion commitment of funding. So we're quite optimistic. I mean, the launch at Parliament House in Sydney this morning is being hosted by the Treasurer. And the NCOS are only asking for seven things. The other two things that I think are really important for our region are a cost of living package. So looking at how you extend the low-income household energy supplement. Because, again, households in our region, we pay on average $500 a year more for electricity than a household in Sydney. That's $10 a week. That has a real impact, and that obviously contributes to the impact of poverty. The other thing that we see as really exciting is investment in some flexible funding for early childhood supports. A relatively small amount of money, $25 million a year, but invested over 10 years into innovative early childhood projects that build links, that look at what is going on in local communities and build on it.
So is this above and beyond the $115 million early childhood package that the Minister announced last month?
Yes, absolutely. And I know that might seem like we're asking for a lot, but we know that early childhood investment has lifelong benefits. It gets people into education, it gets them into jobs, and it saves the community a large amount of money over the longer term. And what we know is that communities in all around the state, but certainly up here, are doing amazing things. For example, when NCOS were developing this submission, they visited a number of Aboriginal community organisations. There's some incredible work that Aboriginal community-controlled preschools do in this region. So Jarjams in Lismore, Gamianyi in Grafton, there's a whole range of services where young people get into a fantastic, culturally appropriate educational environment where families are encouraged in, and you have a small preschool run really on the smell of an oily rag, providing this amazing hub for the community. And really, small amounts of funding into programs like that can have a great community-wide benefit.
Tony Davies, great to get your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean.
The CEO of Social Futures, Tony Davies, speaking there. Mm-hmm.